In a world where your birth number determines your destiny, America Singer has accepted her life as a five, a cast of artists who perform for the wealthy while often going to bed hungry. She's found happiness in secret midnight meetings with Aspen, a six who works as a servant. Their forbidden romance blossoms in the shadows, with stolen kisses in her treehouse and carefully saved food exchanged like precious gifts. But when Prince Maxon announces The Selection, a bachelor-style competition where 35 girls compete to become the future queen, America's world turns upside down. Aspen, wounded by pride and caste consciousness, ends their relationship just before America is improbably chosen as her province's representative. Now thrust into palace life, America must navigate glittering ballrooms, cutthroat competitors, and rebel attacks while her heart is pulled between the prince she's starting to understand and the boy from home she can't forget. In Ilia, life paths are predetermined by a rigid caste system. The royal family occupies the top tier as ones, while eights struggle at the bottom in homelessness. America's family belongs to the five caste of artists, earning their living through performances. Despite its futuristic setting, this world feels disturbingly familiar. Twos enjoy celebrity status, threes work as educators and business leaders, and each caste has specific clothing, educational access, and social expectations. Marriage between castes requires extensive paperwork, with women automatically adopting their husband's lower caste when marrying down. This stratification creates stark inequality: hunger for lower castes, luxury for the privileged. Resentment fuels two rebel movements targeting the palace: northern rebels searching for something specific, and violent southern rebels who leave casualties. These frequent attacks remain largely hidden from citizens through the palace's information control, concealing the growing threat to their fragile society.
I'm not some charity case, America. I'm a man. I'm supposed to be a provider. With these words, Aspen ends his relationship with America after she prepares him a special dinner from saved food. What should have been a loving gesture becomes a painful reminder of the psychological barriers created by the caste system. Their relationship exists in shadows, meeting after curfew, hiding feelings from family, limiting physical intimacy for fear of consequences. Aspen breaks up with America not from changed feelings, but because he can't bear pulling her down to a six's life of servitude. The forbidden nature of their connection reveals how systemic inequality corrupts even intimate human bonds. America's father observes, "Someone you love now, you might hate when he couldn't provide for you," acknowledging how economic stress affects relationships. Yet he also affirms, "If you loved an eight, I'd want you to marry him," suggesting love's value transcends social convention. This tension between love's potential and the practical realities of a stratified society drives the emotional complexity of their story.
"I've never been alone with a girl my age until you came along." This garden confession shatters America's image of Prince Maxon as a stuck-up little wimp, revealing someone thoughtful, compassionate, and profoundly isolated. While The Selection seems like a game show to America, for Maxon, confined to palace walls his entire life, it's his only chance at finding love. As their friendship deepens, Maxon reveals his struggles, preparing to rule without real-world experience, fearing he might send home his potential soulmate, and carrying a nation's future. When America suggests food assistance for lower castes, he implements it despite resistance, showing both compassion and courage. His relationship with King Clarkson reveals the personal cost of royal duty. The king's cold public demeanor hints at harsher private treatment, leaving Maxon balancing his desire for change against rigid monarchical expectations. Maxon's first awkward yet earnest kiss with America perfectly captures his journey, learning to be both prince and person while seeking genuine connection with someone who sees beyond his crown.
"I'm not choosing between you and Maxon. I'm choosing myself.
With these words, America claims agency in a process designed to objectify her. In a competition built on performance, authenticity becomes revolutionary. Throughout the palace, people wear masks, both literal makeup and personas crafted to impress. The selected girls develop strategic approaches to win Maxon's favor, while staff maintain rigid formality. America enters the selection, viewing it merely as financial support for her family, yet her honesty becomes her greatest strength. While others present carefully crafted personas, America remains herself, calling the selection ridiculous to Maxon's face, requesting pants instead of dresses, and playing violin rather than feigning interest in activities she dislikes. Finding authenticity requires both courage and safe spaces. The women's room and America's balcony become her refuges for honest reflection. Her friendship with Maxon grows through their secret ear-tugging signal that enables private communication amid public scrutiny. By embracing authenticity, America transforms from reluctant participant to empowered individual, suggesting that in a world of appearances, the most revolutionary act is simply being oneself. Music serves as America's authentic voice throughout her journey. As a five, her identity revolves around performance, yet music represents more than professional obligation. It becomes her emotional language, connection to home, and unique contribution to palace life. In moments of stress, America turns to music for comfort. After a rebel attack leaves her room ransacked, she reaches for her violin, seeking solace in familiar melodies. During a tense party, she loses herself in playing. As I played, I forgot about Celeste and Maxon and Aspen and the rebels. For a few minutes, I was just America, and I was just playing. Throughout Ilian society, art both reinforces caste divisions and transcends them. America's family is defined by their artistic abilities, as fives, yet their art brings beauty across caste lines. When America gives her violin to another contestant as a birthday gift, the gesture is both generous and strategic. Her final performance on that violin transcends competition, demonstrating music's power to unite rather than divide in a society fractured by caste. America finds herself caught between Aspen, her first love, now serving as a palace guard, and Maxon, the increasingly appealing prince. Her advancement in the competition traps her in this triangle, with discovery of her connection to Aspen risking execution. Rebel attacks intensify, revealing a distinction between northern rebels searching for something specific and violent southern rebels who leave casualties, suggesting complex political motivations beyond anti-monarchy sentiment. The novel concludes with transformation possibilities. Maxon's food assistance program demonstrates willingness to address inequality, while America's choice to prioritize herself reflects her growing agency. Their partnership hints at potential for substantial change. Significant challenges persist. The entrenched caste system, the king's resistance to reform, bold rebel attacks, and desperate tactics from remaining competitors. The selection continues as both competition and metaphor for a society choosing its future, where personal choices might influence national destiny, and authenticity might challenge systems built on appearances.